welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Studio Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Nuda, PapaNuda.com in Columbus, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and special host, Deacon Millett of FourAltars.org in Joshua Tree, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Susan Barnes of SusanBarnesAuthor.com in Tulsa, Oklahoma, bringing us today's topic on freezer spells and working with ice. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of voodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual voodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Ms. Kat and Deacon Millett. Ms. Kat?
Hi, and thank you, Papa Newt. Well, it's a day of surprises, and of course, the first surprise is, I'm sure people are going to be asking, where's Conjurman Ollie? So just a couple hours before the show, he called in. He had a little family emergency, and I'm sure he would appreciate it if some prayers were said. He has a relative who has been hospitalized, and that's all we know about it, but you know, life is like that. So we wish all the best to Conjurman Ollie and to his relative, and I'm sure he'll be back with us as soon as he can. But as a good pal and friend, Deacon Millett has stepped up to co-host with me. And Deacon Millett has been my cohort, unindicted co-conspirator and pal for many, many, many years, and one of my longest running friends in the world. So welcome to the show, Deacon Millett.
Thank you so much. Always happy to be here and glad I could step in and help out for Conjurman Ollie.
Yeah, it's just nice to have you. Well, I'm going to tell everybody what's going on here at the shop, just a few minutes on that topic. It's a nice sunny day. We're hard at work getting ready for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. Now, I'm sure all of you are saying, well, yeah, she's going to do that announcement again. Yes, I am, folks. And the Hoodoo Heritage Festival is coming up May 14th and 15th. But before that festival, for those of you who've taken my course, and this is the correspondence course I teach in Conjure and Rootwork, that is an opportunity to study with me for free. And on May 9th through 13th, I will be teaching graduates of my course. You have to come on out here. There is no charge. It is an actual free 5 days of lessons, hands-on training. And you do have to pay for your own room and board, but there are people who are working at the shop or friends of Lucky Mojo who do have some rooms available, or you can rent a room. Now, if you want to come out to the apprenticeship, and this week we will be doing what's called week two. The apprenticeship is actually 3 weeks long. So we'll be doing week two, and this is the week that we teach you how to make oils and incenses and mojo hands. And it's all hands-on work. You'll see the real old-fashioned techniques, how it's done. You'll be doing it yourself. I'll be guiding you step-by-step through it. If you want to do that, you need to call the shop and ask for Heidi Simpson. She is the shop manager, and she is the person who is putting this together. Or you can go to Facebook, and you can look up Donnell Allen. And Donnell is a graduate and also an apprenticeship graduate, and she's helping Heidi put it together. We have a few slots open. This apprenticeship, we don't have as many people as we did last year, so we're looking for more people. I usually don't do an apprenticeship unless I have, I'd say a minimum of 5, maximum is 20. So we're somewhere within that range right now, but we do have room for a couple more people. But you got to call up. All you have to do is have been graduated from the Hoodoo Rootwork Correspondence course. Okay, then comes the festival. That's open to the public. You do not need to be a person who took my course. You don't have to be a customer of Lucky Mojo Curio Company. You don't have to be an apprentice. This is for the public, and it is going to be a wonderful two-day celebration of root work and folk magic worldwide. We're going to be having an opening ceremony where Andrea Weston and Charles Porfield and others will be presenting. Cast Excelsior will be there. Some of the what we call voices of Hyatt, these are the people who Harry Hyatt interviewed during the 1930s about root work, and they're going to be presenting these in a, you know, as a dramatic reading, what they had to say to him. Wonderful material. Then we're going to be learning about North Asian magic from David Shee. Andrea Weston will be doing a workshop on blessing and protecting your house. Professor Porterfield will be introducing his new book, The Sporting Life, How to Help Yourself with Hoodoo from the Streets to the Sheets. And that is about the demimonde, the underworld. Spells are used in that world, and these are some of them. Deacon Millett is going to be wrangling our readers. We have a whole tent full of readers who can do palm reading, tarot, and stuff like that for you. Food is provided on site. It's part of the cost of your ticket. Go on over to hoodooheritagefestival.com, and you'll just check it all out. There is so much going on. Cast will be doing a workshop on necromantic work. In other words, working with animal parts, people parts, whatever. And Michelle Jackson will be doing a up-close groups of bones. When you read bones, sometimes people throw them out and they look at it and they go, what the heck is that? She's going to be talking about how to read them by groups. And it'll help fine-tune your bone reading. I'll be doing a workshop on the history of hoodoo shop pamphlets and introducing the reprint of Legends of Incense Urban Oil Magic by the pseudonymous Louis de Clermont. So there's so much going on. I haven't even touched on it all, folks. There's just so much. We end up with on Saturday with the Presenter's Banquet. You can come and sit next to some of the people who are presenting workshops. And on Sunday, we'll have a little demi workshop on how to be a professional root worker. If that's what's of interest to you, come on out. We'll critique your business card. We'll look at your social media, and we're going to talk about how to make a career in this field, which is a field of endeavor. My gosh, I know I've left out about six of the workshops. Gabrielle Swain on domestic hoodoo. It's going to be on sewing. Sewing and knitting, crocheting, all of those fabric arts, which are so much a part of female root workers' repertoires. And there's going to be many, many things going on at this workshop. It's like all of the other workshop weekends we do. You'll be doing it hands-on. Miss Robin will be there doing a workshop on amulets and charms, and you'll be given a whole bag of amulets and charms. We have lots of goodie bags for people, lots of things to take home with you. And I hope that we get as many people as can come on out. There is a charge for it. This is not free, but it's pretty much a once-a-year event of a type that is unlike any other. You really will go home having learned a lot, and you'll be able to take your root work to a really dynamic new level with this kind of teaching and make a lot of friends, too. All righty. Well, that is all. Oh my God, how could I forget Miss Michael and Jamila and the political and social justice panel, a workshop on that, too. This is an appropriate a year for that to happen, obviously. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, enough about that. Now you all know what we're working on.
Madam Pamita should be out there, too, I think.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God, yeah. Madame Pamita and her teacups. How could I forget? Madame Pamita's doing a tea leaf reading workshop. Oh, my gosh, yes. I just, you know, like I said, I'm just sitting here going, dot, and I'm not even looking at the World Wide Web where it's all online.
I think Beverly Susan. Beverly Smith is out there, too.
Beverly Smith is, that's right. Beverly Smith, who's from In the Streets with Beverly Smith, one of our radio shows, she's going to be at the Social Justice and Political Alters panel. Talk about doing social change with hoodoo. That's right. Well,
yeah.
Susan, you're
and she's fantastic. I love Beverly Smith, and I believe Candelo Kambisa is going to be out there as well.
Oh, that's right, Candelo.
Great person to learn from. He's a fantastic teacher, and I encourage everybody to go out and listen to him and Professor Porterfield and everybody out there. It's a great show.
Oh, and Papa Lou is going to be there.
That's right, yeah.
Right,
Papa Lou, who has his own radio show, Working with the Spirits with Papa Lou, he's going to be out there too. Yeah, it's going to be quite a get-together. Obviously, we got a lot of people and a lot of things happening. And if you want to be part of it, you can go buy your tickets now. Well, now, you just jumped in, Susan, so let me announce.
I'm sorry, don't say Jermaine,
no,
too.
No, I never get help. I needed the help, sweetheart, and I appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
The lovely voice you're hearing is the lovely Susan Barnes. And welcome to the show, hon.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, well, Susan comes to us from Oklahoma and a wonderful reader at AIR. And as always, we have a panel discussion of our own. And so let's jump into that. First of all, this is something that's, to me, it's very funny to have Deacon Millett here on a panel discussion that's going to be about freezer spells, because Deacon Millett lives out in the desert. Deacon Millett, last year in summer, he was telling me it was 120 degrees. Do you do freezer spells down there in the desert, Deacon Millett?
I do have a few going. I have to keep it to a minimum because I also have food in my freezer. I've thought about purchasing one of those box freezers, but I don't have anywhere to put it. Most people put them on their back porch, which just doesn't work when it's 110 degrees outside. So, just will kill the darn thing. But I do on occasion do a freezer spell, and I'm looking forward to learning some more about them today.
Yeah. Well, you know, freezer spells are one of those interesting things. I'm just going to say a few words and then we'll jump into it. A lot of people think of them as new, think of freezers as very modern. Well, the term freezer is modern. It probably dates to the 1920s, 30s, something like that. But before that, it was called an icebox. And there are many icebox spells because the harvesting of ice and the keeping of ice through the summer and selling blocks of ice to people goes back a long, long way. You have a little insulated box, usually lined with metal, wooden on the outside, sometimes packed with sawdust, and it could be used to keep ice for about a week. And the ice would melt and, you know, you'd drain it out, but you'd always have everything frozen. So that kind of a freezer, which is requires new, fresh ice to be put in it all the time, called an icebox, has been with us a long time. And hoodoo practitioners were using iceboxes like that before there were electric freezers. And we know that because people like Newbell Niles Puckett and Harry Hyatt interviewed root workers who did not have electricity, but they had iceboxes and they knew icebox spells. So it's not completely modern, but it has taken off as electrical freezers have become more common. Now, freezer spell is usually done to stop someone in their tracks. It's not a killing spell. It's a freezing spell. So if you want to kill somebody, you take them to a graveyard. If you want to run them out of town, you take them to a crossroads. But if you want to freeze them, stop them, you put them in a freezer. So I'm going to turn this over to Susan because this is her topic, but that's kind of where we're going with this thing. Take it away, Susan. You tell us what you want to tell us about freezer spells.
Well, I happen to love freezer spells because, just like you explained, it's basically just freezing somebody in their tracks. And I think most people think of them as binding spells, and they are not binding spells. They're just freezing somebody. So they're used mostly in for shutting people up in court cases, stopping an interloper from a relationship, gossip, eliminating business competition, freezing love rivals, and also freezing the law. You know, if you think the law is going to be on you, it's great to have a freezer spell for that. 70% of my work involves freezing spells, and it also involves reading ice. So I do a lot of ice reading, and I have a separate freezer specifically for the spells. Another thing that's important to note that I've come across, people tend to get the wrong information about freezer spells. They'll put in all kinds of stuff. One of the things you do not want to put in a freezer spell, do not put ammonia in a freezer spell. Why? Because ammonia is a cleansing agent. It will protect and cleanse. I use it to protect and cleanse things. Vinegar, yeah, use vinegar. Use lots of that. You know, you can also use, and I know Kat will jump in here on this one, you can use animal parts, like an animal tongue to symbolize speech,
mm-hmm.
A hollowed out large whole sour pickle to symbolize a person's sexuality, sliced fig for female sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
You can also use a lemon to sour someone's life. And so it's like, it doesn't cost you a lot of money to do this stuff. Now, people are funny about what containers they use. I'm not that picky about it. You can go to the grocery store and buy yourself a freezer container that's clear, glass container. I learned from my grandmother to just save jars. Like she's from World War II, so you save everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I just save all kinds of salsa jars, whatever you've got. The other
May I jump in? I got to jump in on that with the saved glass jars. I do that too. I'm not even from World War II. I just grew up frugal and poor. But here's the thing: when water freezes, it expands.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put in a glass jar that has a shoulder on it and then a narrow neck, and fill it up to the top, and you then put the lid on it, it will expand and it can crack the jar.
Mm-hmm.
So what you usually do is you fill it up to the shoulder but not up the neck. It's called leaving headspace.
Mm-hmm.
And don't put the screw the cap on completely. Just put it there but leave it loose. And then when the thing freezes solid, you can screw that cap on, and it'll be just fine. If you want to, you can use freezer jars, which are kind of a tapered jar that get wider and wider toward the top. And they're designed not to break. If they're filled up too high, they'll just kind of push and expand a little bit. But they don't have a neck or a shoulder where the ice gets trapped in there. But you don't need to have a freezer jar. But I just had to say that. I just had to say that. Leave some space. Leave head space, okay?
Yes, and I've learned that the hard way, so you're absolutely right. And don't put oil in the freezer spell. Some people do that, but oil's not going to freeze. We don't want to use alcohol-based perfumes. I use Lucky Mojo products. I use, the bath crystals, and I will wet them in warm water or some type of liquid like that, and then put them into the freezer spell, like a banishing or a jinx or some type of thing like that. But that's what I use my bath crystals for. Red pepper. I mean, there's so many things you can use. Alum to make them shut up. You can also use, because so many people come to me, they're like, oh, I can't get a personal concern, blah, blah, blah. You know, I get so sick of these excuses. All you have to do, don't you? I mean, you know, it's not that hard. It's not rocket science. Go to the person's yard, grab some grass or dirt from their front yard. It works very well, and people would be shocked about it. But it's also the intent, because, as we all know, energy imprints upon matter. So if you want to put your intent into that liquid, you've got to be very focused. This isn't la-la land, and we're not just doing spells for the heck of it. This is serious business. So, you know, get control. I tell people, get control of what it is you want to do. It's simple, right? Write down exactly what you want. Let's not go here, there, and everywhere and blame every single person in the world. And put one single thing down. Write your petition. That's all you have to do. It's very simple. But learn how to do it correctly. So many people come to me and they say, oh, I've did this, this, and that. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know. It's not that hard.
Well, I'm gonna throw in another little thing here. I personally hate plastic in the freezer. I just don't like it. I just don't like it. Probably comes out of my old belief that some of these plasticizers are carcinogenic, and we know they are, and I don't want to eat out of it, so I don't have a lot of Tupperware-type or plastic-type containers for my freezer anyway. So I tend to use glass. But I'll tell you something that's a good space saver. Back in the day, if you couldn't get a beef tongue, people would say, well, just take some brown paper towels and fold them and make a like a tongue-shaped, you know, sort of an oblong shape, put the person's name in there, and then do that on aluminum foil, and then wrap it up with the aluminum foil, and that will freeze just as hard as can be. So I tend to use brown paper towels. I don't know, you could use white ones, I guess, but I was always taught to use brown ones. They're more like a tongue, I guess. And put the person's name in, and then you just lay it on the aluminum foil, shiny side up, and then that folds over so that shiny side in. That's like making both a mirror box spell and a freezer spell at the same time.
Oh, that's excellent. And I use pens. I'll pen a petition. So I'll use the pen. I learned this at the last Hoodoo Heritage Festival about learning how to pen petitions. And I will dip them into the Lucky Mojo oil, for example, a banishing oil or jinx oil, and I let them dry. Then I will pin them to the petition, which is actually a packet they're going to slip into the freezer jar. Or one thing I used recently was a glass skull that somebody gave me. It's a beautiful spell. So, you know, it's just the more creative, but not too wild, the more creative things that you can use, it works, you know.
Yeah. That's another thing that I really like to do when we talk about doing this kind of work. There are many things that you don't think about. Why would you freeze them? How would you handle them? People talk about, say, an herb mix. I'm just going to just say, let's say I wanted to do an herb mix and I wanted to put into it a few herbs that were going to be difficult for that person. I wanted to have that person maybe have a hot time of it, so I was going to put in some red peppers. I maybe would like them to shut themselves up, so I'm going to put in some alum. There's nothing that says you have to just put those things dry in a freezer. Put them into some water and boil them up with the person's name paper and boil them all together. Make a little stew and put that in.
Nice.
In other words, let them sit and stew in that, you know, a little bit of vinegar, a little this and that and the other. And often I have used, when a person has some difficult drug issues, and I and I'm being here a witness, let's say, and this person is a known marijuana smoker, I will put marijuana in it too, to, so that they become frozen in their own little confused world. So but again, I find that these work really well when you cook them. You just put them on the stove, cook them up, make a little thing, put it into a little freezer jar, a little container of some sort, with their name dipped in it, and say, now, you're in your own little universe. It's a universe of pain and a universe of confusion and a universe of, you know, you're not getting out. And then I will take that whole freezer jar. This would be now a little glass jar. And I wrap that in aluminum foil. So, again, I've put them in and made them inside a mirror box. Okay.
That's brilliant. I've experimented with taking out a spell, unthawing it partially, and then putting it back in the freezer so that the person is going through a series, I don't want to use the word torment, but they're okay, and then they're back in the freezer again. And this, of course, is for someone who's been really horrible to another person. This is not just to be mean or anything. But you can do that. So being experimental is always good. Papa Newt and I are always coming up with some type of experiments, and we thought, hey, let's do something where we can do a love spell where we put in love herbs and ice cubes into hot tea and serve it to a target, and then the ice will thaw into the tea, and then the person drinks it. So we haven't tried it yet, but we've just sort of been throwing that out there. So there's all kinds of things that can be done, but I always say, you know, think it out, experiment, and make sure it's going to work. Otherwise, it's, you know, you're wasting your time. But, I mean, I like to experiment anyway, so.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead, Dee Camilla.
I just have a question for you guys. Disposal, when and how? That's always been my tough part. I think I've got freezer spells going back 5 years in my freezer. What? How do I get rid of these things eventually, or do I just not?
That's a brilliant question. You can either just keep them forever in the freezer, or What I do is I'll place them at a crossroads or under a tree, but if there's pins in it, I make sure to take the pins out, because if it's a beef tongue, an animal's going to come and get a hold of it.
Right.
So I usually, if it's in glass, I make sure to thaw it out and bury it and take it apart so that it's no longer affecting the person. But I'll take it to a crossroads or under a tree and just making sure the pins are, and needles are removed.
Yeah.
That's
is something I have to speak up on that, too. I have received a number of phone calls from veterinarians who have actually asked me to tell people not to leave pins and needles in tongues. They know that people are doing it. They read about it. They go, I've got another dog with like 18 pins in its stomach and the dog is suffering, And they look up, do people do this for cruelty? And they see, no, this is being done. And they have called me and said, please tell people not to do this. This is very sad and bad. You don't want to hurt a wandering animal. And if it's a dog, it'll go seek help. But what if it's, another wild animal? It won't. And it might die from that, from the internal injury. So please do not leave needles, pins, knives, and stuff in freezer spells that you take out into nature to dispose of. Just please remove those. And also, putting pins and needles in is one way, but you can also sew a tongue shut with heavy thread, and that works just as well, and the thread is just thread. It's not a big deal.
And if people get grossed out, because most people do, they're not going to go out and dig in a graveyard or get a beep tongue or anything. I'm not grossed out because I was raised on a ranch. Just go get some gloves from the grocery store, the cleaning gloves, the plastic gloves. And, so you're not touching anything that way. You're not getting your hands, your hands aren't getting dirty or whatever, which is part of the work, in my opinion. But a lot of people aren't going to do it. So that's another option, getting those little gloves, which are very inexpensive when you're working with animal stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna put in another idea, too, about these kind of spells. If you have a spell like that to take apart, and she mentioned this before, thaw them out. This is one reason to use those freezer jars that are tapered, because they don't require as much thawing before the thing pops out. You don't have to get it down to the point that it has to come out through the neck. So that is why people use freezer jars, or you can use aluminum foil or a little box container. Another thing that I like, and because I don't want to waste a freezer jar, I'm not going to take that and put it at a crossroads and ruin that little thing. I'm going to put it, let it thaw just enough and then pop the thing out. People always ask me, what do you do? Are you going to wash that jar? Can you use that jar again? And I'm going to tell you what I do, and this is just me. I take a paper towel and I wipe the jar before I were ever to wash it in my sink with my regular stuff. Now, it may not have had anything poisonous or toxic, but it has a spiritual poison or toxin in it, so to speak. So I wipe it with the paper towel, and then the paper towel becomes part of what is disposed at the crossroads or at the graveyard, because I prefer to get everything off my property if I'm disposing of that. In the chat room, Shiva said something, mixture of herbs and honey and personal concerns in ice cream. I don't know where he's going with that one. Ice cream's pretty sweet. He's always, well, you could. If you had an enemy who was a diabetic, ice cream is deadly for diabetics.
Ooh,
ain't that right, Deacon Millett?
Oh, yeah. It's not something I get to enjoy anymore.
Right. Well, so there you go. Now, there's an interesting idea that you could take. You could take a ice cream, something that seems really nice, and you can put their name in it, and you can say, you will eat ice cream until you die, and put it in the freezer. Another thing I do is I date things. I lived for many years also on a farm, and we had those big chest-type freezers where, you butcher animals and you have everything in, and you wrap it in freezer paper, and you use those grease pencil, and you mark on them the date. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Right. in the white paper. So I would mark them. When I put something in the freezer, I date it. I guess it's just kind of reflexive, habituated activity on my part. So I date it. And I wouldn't keep, if I'm working for a person, in other words, for a client, I'm not going to keep something in my freezer for them forever.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, Ms. Susan just said, I'd eventually end up with a whole freezer just separate for spells. when they're expired, we could say, out
mm-hmm.
they go.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a great believer in compost. I still live out in the country, and so they can go to the compost pile as well as going off into the crossroads or someplace where they might make a mess. I just compost everything, and that's just my way of getting rid of it.
The other thing people do, and I'm sorry for jumping in here, but I just want to get this real quick, is I've had a few people come to me and say, I don't know what I did wrong. And I said, well, what'd you do with your petition? They wrote their lover's name in the petition. For example, Miss Jezebel, stay away from, Joe Blow or whatever. And I'm thinking,
mm-hmm.
you just froze Joe Blow. So leave the lover's name out of the petition.
Yeah, that is so important. Thank you for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this, and they
mm-hmm.
post at the Lucky Mojo Forum. And if you all don't know about the forum and you're listening to this show, it's forum.luckymojo.com. And there is a whole thread on freezer spells. And one after another, these poor little young ladies, well, I said, Miss Jezebel, stay away from Joe Blow. And now he's mad at me. He's cold. Like, you just put his name in the freezer, honey.
Mm-hmm.
So then they say, well, how can I say that without mentioning his name? Well, you just call her name. That's who
right.
you're trying to affect. You say, Miss Jezebel, you are frozen in place. You are no longer sexual. You are no longer appealing. You can no longer wiggle. You're cold as ice, hard as ice, and everyone can see it, right? That's what you're going to say. It's about her. It's not about him.
Yes.
And this is a freezer spell is not a breakup spell.
Correct.
A freezer spell is not a binding spell.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that it doesn't restrain their movement other than through freezing them. Freezer spells mostly came out of the courtroom type of work, and the application of freezer spells to love spells has a kind of an advocacy component to it in the same way that a court case spell does. And you can tie them up and you can wrap them up and make a binding spell, but it is to stop their activities. It's to
mm-hmm.
stop them. And people say, well, I want to freeze Miss Jezebel away from Joe Blow. No, that's not. You could take their two names
mm-hmm.
and you could cut their names apart. That's a breakup spell.
Yeah.
Right? And then you could keep his name all close to your body and hugged up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you freeze her name. But he ain't going in the freezer. Do not put him in the freezer.
That's right.
Well, it's people just get this idea that everything is like everything else, and they're going to do every kind of spell the same way they did every other spell. And
uh-huh.
I do have to say, this family of work is so clearly what it is, what it is. You mentioned earlier on the use of a fig, and I'm just going to throw that one in, and the use of the pickle or the cucumber. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
the pickle. A few years ago, back on the internet, somebody said, "Oh yeah, if you freeze a pickle, it'll make a man hard for you." And I'm like, "You what?" It's just like so nutty, right? Well, they just reinvented something wrong. But actually, what you would do is, if you want to sour a man's sex life, you can slit that pickle, and you can put in his name and some cursible things, and you might want to put in some red pepper to give him a little bit of a hot. Irritated infection, something like that. Just whatever you might want to do.
Or a picture of his penis, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, if you can get that, put that
mm-hmm.
in there, too.
Yeah.
And now with a woman.
That's easier and easier.
It is easier and easier. People send them to you
there
all the time.
Yeah, people send them all the time.
And then the other one that I really, I have to say it's kind of harsh, is a fig or a pear. Either one of those will represent a woman's womb. Now, this is her womb, not her vulva, her sex pleasure organs, but this is to stop a woman from having babies. And you can take, a fig is particularly good because there's a little hole at the bottom where that little wasp goes in and fertilizes it. And you just stick roll her name up on a piece of paper, just real like a Chinese fortune cookie size piece of paper, and roll it really tight and shove it up in there and say, now, your womb is frozen and nothing more. But if you can get her menstrual blood on that name paper, It depends on who she is and whether you live with her, and stick it back up inside. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give the lady all kinds of trouble. Now, if you can take little pebbles or grains of sand up in there, like little pebbles, you're going to give the lady fibroids. And I'm talking some mean stuff here, right? But that's all. That's a freezer spell. It's hell on the woman, and she will have a. You can get all kinds of things going on. A pear will work as well as a fig, but a fig is better really because it looks more like it's all red inside. I mean, you know, it's exactly what it is.
Now, what about wetted underwear, Miss Cat? How do you feel about that?
Oh, yes. If you take someone's underwear and freeze that up, wad it up into a bunch and freeze that up, that's to stop them from running around, right? Mm. That's to stop them from you know, it's a good one. I love that kind of stuff. I have known people also to take socks and wet someone's socks and say, now stop running around, stop going. You are not going anywhere. You're frozen here, right? Mm-hmm. People sometimes will drive a nail through a pair of socks to nail someone down. They'll literally nail it to a wooden board or to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But you can nail them and freeze them in their space. They cannot move. Those are some difficult spells to do because you really have to put a lot of attention and a lot of work into it.
Yes.
And
realize that it's not, you know, it's not silly time or game time. This is real stuff, and that's why I keep telling people, you know, stop being so ADD over it. Just focus. Just put your intent, you know, energy and prints upon matter, and just put your intent on exactly what it is you want. I mean, make a picture of it. If you can't make pictures in your mind, because I believe Professor Porterfield said that Christy is better at thinking of mathematical formations. So then think of maybe a song, like You're As Cold As Ice by Foreigner. Is that correct? Sometimes I do my freezer spells with that song. So you do everything with any kind of intent. If you're not a visual person, use auditory. If you're not auditory, then use your feelings and go into a rage when you're doing this. So that's what I'm talking about, just really getting into it.
That's a really good one. I always think of that song, I Got My Mojo Working. It says, I got a whole lot of tricks keeping her on ice.
Yeah.
You know, because tricks is also a word that's used to mean conjurer, root work. So I love that. Now, freezing a person in ice, too, a little ice cube trays, the old-fashioned ice cube trays, you can put as many people as you want, one into each ice cube tray, and you can they don't take up a lot of room that way.
Interesting. I haven't done that one yet.
Yeah, then pop them out of the ice cube tray, put them in a little bag, and just keep them in there. They're all mingled together. You can use a whole office full of gossiping people that way.
Thank you. I'll try that.
All right, well, you're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, and we're going to have Papa Newt come in and take us to our first reading.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali. And this week's special guest, Susan Barnes, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. All calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you are available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling in from area code 415 in San Francisco. This is Seth. Seth, are you there?
I am right here, and thank you so much.
You're welcome, Seth. And I do see that you're a first-time caller, so welcome. And it did sound like you were on a speakerphone. Is that correct? If so, could you turn that off, please?
Oh, okay. Is that better?
It just echoes. Thank you so much, Seth.
Better.
And I do see that you have not gone to Ms. Cat or Contramental Lee or any other readers on this situation. Is that correct?
No, I have not. I have not. You know, my general feeling of things, you know, I like to meditate and I do my own things, but I thought, well, let's get an outside perspective this time.
Certainly. And Seth writes, I'm a prior foster child who has lived on the streets in his youth. I overcome all the odds to grow up in, as a happy adult and has earned an MBA. I am soon to be 46 years old, but have not been able to break into a career or have any lasting or stable financial prosperity, and have been stuck with mostly temporary work. Money has always come, but I'm looking for something to really last, lasting abundance and security. Turning it back to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Well, Seth, I hear you. It's difficult if you were not prepared for a life in society, you have to kind of invent it all on your own, and so you have my admiration that you've done it. I mean, you've gotten an MBA and you've gotten that far. Let's take a look. What I'm going to do is a reading and see what we have to say. Now, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. You said you're mostly doing temporary work. Is this like office type work, or is it work that actually makes use of your MBA?
Mainly it's just office type of work, work that I'm really overqualified for. I've had trouble breaking into new careers. One, I suspect because of my age. You know, I don't look my age, but I don't look like I'm 20 either. And also, while I have tons of skills in so many different areas, I'm not specialized enough. For example, let's say a computer program, I may know it, but I haven't been using it for 5 years. So I always, I often make it to the end of the interviews, like the last final, but then I end up losing out.
Right. I hear what you're saying. All right. Well, I'm going to do a 3-card reading, and this will indicate what I see around you. You're probably asking more for root work advice than you are for reading, so I'm going to keep this reading brief, and we can maybe get to the root work and give a little more time on that. The first card I see is the Hermit. Well, the Hermit is a card that is of a man who has retreated somewhat. He's retreated to a high icy peak. He's dressed in gray. He's got a beard. And he's holding a walking stick like he got there on his own. He has a lantern with a little star in it, and it's shining a light. He is someone who people can approach, but he is a little bit withdrawn from the social world around him. So first of all, I would recommend that this card is telling me that you might want to get out and do a bit more socializing as part of job getting, because you are competent, but you're easily, for you, it's all too easy to withdraw if you don't feel, that you're making the progress that you need to make. The Hermit is not a bad card in any way, but it's a card of a person who is not actively seeking others.
May I comment on that, if that's okay?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfectly accurate because, of course, when the economy collapsed, I was dead broke. I made enough to make the rent, but not enough to go out. And also at the time, I had a crappy apartment. I did luck out. I don't know if you're familiar with below-market rentals in San Francisco, but I did a little mojo to win the lottery. And instead of winning the California lottery, I won the below-market rental. So now I have a really great apartment, great view,
very
attractive.
Okay.
But I'm still kind
okay,
of
great.
With money and finances isolated.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I'm going to go on to the next card. And the next card here is a card that tells me that you are really kind of poised on the ability to wake up and do better for yourself. And the card is called the Judgment. And this shows the angel Gabriel blowing a horn and the dead coming back to life. It's kind of a scenario that shows the opportunity to reinvent yourself. And I would keep on the lookout for anyone with the name Gabriel. There certainly will be people with that name around you. But also to keep on the lookout for opportunities to remake yourself. The card shows literally people coming out of coffins praising God. And so that's a good card, and it really says almost that you call this kind of at a moment when some changes may be happening. The next card, third card in the run here, tells me that you probably will not achieve in the short term a kingship or, you know, something worthy of whatever your energy is, not because you're not good at it, but I think you kind of nailed it already, but because of age. And this card is the Seven of Wands, and it's a card that often comes up to represent too much competition. It shows a man on the hill who is unprepared for a fight. He has on one boot and one shoe. He's strong, he's tough, but there are he's got a quarterstaff to defend himself, and there's some other people poking up at him. And we sometimes see this card come when there are younger people competing or when there are too many people competing. And this is a card that says you were not prepared for this, and it doesn't show, unfortunately, it doesn't show an immediate resolution to the problem in terms of competition. So what I'm looking at, the best card of the three, is the Judgment card, and that says you might actually want to consider a true reinvention of yourself rather than fixing little bits as you go, if you see what I'm saying. I could say more, but I'm going to turn this over to Susan and see what she has in way of a reading about it.
Well, hi, and congratulations on winning the lottery. That's really awesome. I know how hard it is to get a place out in San Francisco, so congratulations. I got some really cool cards for you. I got the first card is the Ten of Pentacles, and that is, it represents great conditions, material things, and you are going to accomplish these things in this lifetime. But just like Ms. Kat said, it's not going to be right away, but it will be within your life, within this life. You were blessed with good luck, good fortune. You've been carved out for success in corporations and business. So you actually did a very brilliant thing by getting an MBA because you're meant to be in business. The other card I got was the King of Rods. And this is somebody who, I don't know, if are you in your early 30s or you're, I'm just saying 46.
I'll be 46 this month.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess you look younger than you are then. So,
a lot,
This is, you do. You were right about that. So it's somebody who is honest and you're conscious. It's someone who's a very sharp businessman. You're actually very good with people. You might think that you're not, but you are. So it also, I think that you do need more education, like Kat said. But I'm also being told to control your urges. And I know this sounds a little weird. I don't know where it's coming from. But you're going to need the temperament to control urges that get you into trouble or get you off the beaten track, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting the Eight of Rods. The Eight of Rods means to me in this situation that you're going to have to come out more of your shell. And just like Kat said, to become more of a networker, to meet people. It also means that there's a possibility of a trip coming up, probably by plane. And I would say go for it. If you get the opportunity to go on a trip, do it, because you're going to meet someone there who's going to help you. But it also means that you sometimes do things too hastily. And so it just means sudden, swift action, and to be cautious and to just go, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, let me think about this a little bit and get that temperament back under control. Do you know what I mean? And I think you're going to do fantastic. I mean, the end of your life is going to be just incredible. But right now, let's get you through this issue right now and then have some root work to help you get through it and onto this Ten of Pentacles, okay?
Yeah,
the Ten of Pentacles is great.
It's a fabulous card. I wish I had it in every reading.
Now, if I may ask you a question, because one of the things you talked about reinventing myself, and that's part of my frustration, because I am extremely adaptable, and I have reinvented myself so many times, from being construction worker, bartender, you name it. So I found that I run out of things to reinvent.
I'd like to give you a hint on that one. I've had to do that myself. I've been through several different aspects of my reality. Just go back and start again from when you were a child and pick up one that you didn't do as much as you wanted to. It'll still be there. Your enthusiasm will still be there. I'm going to turn you over to Deacon Millett now. And he's going to give you some root work advice. And I will say one other thing, just from experience, and this has nothing to do with the cards I pulled. If you do something, you do it well, offer it for free on a limited basis, either through a nonprofit agency or with people who need help, and you will be rewarded. That's just my opinion. But anyway, let's turn this over to Deacon Millett.
Well, that is great advice, because nonprofits can certainly use your skills, and it's a way to prove to others that you've been able to use them well.
I did volunteer for a hospital for 7 years.
Oh, good. Good for you.
I think that carrying a mojo bag is the way to go. I really like lodestones when attracting jobs. I love High John the Conqueror roots. I think that deer's tongue leaves are really great for an interview process. But the key for me, deer's tongue, which helps you be glib, not that you aren't already. And the one thing, though, that I think is key is you've got to go to the place that you're applying, and you've got to find dirt. And I have my clients mail it to me, because you've got to physically go get just a little of the dirt of the place, and you remake that mojo bag every time for the new job you're going for, in the same way that you've got to remake your resume for every job you're going for. It's got to be tweaked. One thing that is unfortunate is that your vast range of abilities is not seen as a strength. Get it out of your resume. People don't say to themselves, oh, he's so flexible. Look at all the wonderful things he's done. They say they are always looking for a warrior in one particular way. So make sure that you redo your resume just for that every time. And, of course, you will want to dress those resumes even to hiding hidden success sigils in them electronically if need be. Nowadays, when we email in our resumes, we have to be a little more clever to use Hoodoo in getting jobs. I also think that if there's a job you really, really want, go and get photographs online of the people who you'll be interviewing with, and do some sweetening work on them. Get them in a honey jar for the month that's the job you're applying for. It's really worth personalizing the work to those individuals, because really it comes down to, in your case, the final interview and the one person who's going to be the yay or nay figure, and getting them sweet on you is above all the thing that you need to do. Be also very, very careful. Something Susan said kind of leapt out at me, and that is controlling certain urges. I believe that at the last minute, you blurt things out that sabotage you. And I want you to be so conscious in those final interviews of letting the other person speak, saying as little as you possibly can, just keeping it very quiet. And I know that that's counterintuitive, being quiet in an interview, but there is something that's telling me, no, he says something in that last interview that maybe you think it's the thing to say, but somehow it is throwing everything off for you. So
I am guilty because I have sabotaged interviews that I really did not want. So, yes, I have.
May I ask what sign of the zodiac you are?
Well, April 26th, so some would say I'm a Taurus, some would say I'm an Aries, but Taurus.
Okay, great. All right, I'm going to jump in here with a couple of other things, too, because I don't know how familiar you are with root work. But Deacon Millett touched on some things. Get the logo of the company offline. You can just get that and print it out. If you're going to make a little sugar jar or honey jar, you want to use that logo in your little packet where you're going to, you know, and you can do an affirmative petition such as, you know, Lord grant me a job with such and such company and write it around their logo in a square or circle depending on what their logo looks like. And put that in there. And I personally, like he said, also they're dirt. If you are turning in your resumes electronically, I personally like to at least use Steady Work oil or something of that nature on my hands. I'd rub my hands with it before I go to type at the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You want to have some connection to magical work rather than just visualization. But a little honey jar or sugar jar. I like sugar because you can just keep on adding and you can fish things out of the sugar jar without getting your hands all sticky and gooey and wondering what you're going to do with it. But if you just keep on layering in those corporate logos, and if they don't work, you just take them out, burn them to ash, and go on to the next one. But burn them, get rid of them. Okay.
What do you do for dirt if you live in the city?
Well, you can, you know, even the mortar and the bricks will come out if you just poke at it a little bit. Mm-hmm. A lot of places will have potted plants. They will have. I was once in front of a bank and they had nothing but these big pots, like they would have held potted plants, but they were just filled with what we used to call when I was young Japanese pebbles, if y'all know what I mean. Those real smooth black. It was some sort of an art thing. They have these granite vases, and then when you went looked in, it was just Japanese pebbles. So I took a Japanese pebble from each one. You know, you do what you can.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
You know, all right. And again, a lot of places will have a mat where people scrape their feet or something of that
mm-hmm.
nature. Depends on what you can, you know, do. I don't know what kind of jobs you're applying for, but you want to be able to do something that will be able to be taken home with you. If it's just break a leaf off a tree in front of the corporate headquarters, break the leaf off. Another thing that you can do is take a selfie of yourself in front of the corporate you know, like
absolutely.
You know, like there's that big Google logo. You just stand there and take a selfie, and here I am at Google, and you put that in. That's a great way to insinuate yourself into the hiring process.
Wonderful.
Oh, and I'll tell you another one. Money. Take some coins and you mark the money. Put your initials on them, real small. Just use a pen knife, and so you put your initials on, and you do it on the head side of the coins, and you throw those coins down all around in the parking lot where the people go, or in, you know, near the building. Don't put in so many that they're going to go, wow, someone just dumped them all here. But put them in heads up, because some people, especially Irish people, will not pick up a penny if it's tails up. If they can see that far, they go, that's an unlucky penny. But if it's heads up, they'll go, oh, it's a lucky penny. Most people don't have that fear of tails up. Like people like me can't see well, or who are Jewish, we just pick up any penny. But Irish people, they want it heads up. Well, the Irish people have a whole thing. It's got to be heads up, the horseshoe's got to be up and all that. But if you put your initials, carve your initials on, just tiny, they'll never see it, down where the mint thing is. And then you pray over those and rub them in your armpits. Get your sweat on them. Right, and you throw that penny out there, and you say, "Now, let this person who picks up this penny, who works at this business, let them think well of me, and when they see me or smell me, they'll know it's me, and I belong with them." You see?
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Beautiful.
Don't never forget the power of armpit sweat.
Yes.
All right. Well, good luck to you, hon, and we hope to hear back from you later when you get your job. All right. You're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with my co-host Deacon Millett and Susan Barnes from AIR as our guest. And here is Papa Newt.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 281 in Houston. This is Susan. Susan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Welcome to the show. I certainly can. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I see you have not gone to Ms. Kat or Dickie Miller or any other people, readers or reworkers on this situation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, but I see you've
I'm from New Orleans, so I've been doing the things that I grew up with and I've known, and
okay.
and nothing seems to be working, so
right.
I need some
certainly.
Professional advice.
All right, and Susan writes, my entire life changed on December 31st, 2014, when my mother died at noon, and I discovered my husband of 19 years was having an affair. I left my marriage within 6 weeks and began rebuilding my life. All is going well except for career. I have, for almost 10 months, been hitting brick walls after brick wall, despite being educated and experienced. I have done novenas. I have done candle magic. I have done two major road openers, all to no avail. I don't know what or who is blocking me. I'm turning back to you, Ms. Katz.
Wow, how very interesting. As we all know, this show is like a barometer, and I'm just going to say I'm sorry to hear of what's happening with your life, Susan, but you notice that your situation is so close to the previous caller. Did you notice that?
I took notes on everything that you said from him.
Everything we said for him is going to go for you too, and we're going to come up with more things. But this is a factor in this show. It happens all the time that we have people will call in with the same problem, and that points to another issue, which is astrological. Now you're asking if this was done to you by someone, and we're going to do a little quick reading on that because he did not ask that. He knew what his problem was, not caused by a curse, and you're questioning whether someone may have cursed you, but what I'm looking at now, when there's two of you, we may be just looking at what we call astrological weather as well.
And
so,
I'm a Taurus.
Another Taurus.
I'm a Taurus like you're, he was, yes.
Oh, my
gosh.
I'm
May 4th, very close to him. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, another Taurus. Look at that. Okay. And so let's turn this over to Deacon Millett, and he's going to do a reading, okay?
Thank you.
Hello there. So I've pulled a few cards. I used the Secret Dakini Oracle deck. And the first card that I pulled for you is Heart Drop. We oftentimes see this card in relationships, in long-distance relationships. And this card tells me that you may be, will find it useful to apply for jobs in other places, that some distance may prove useful for you. The second card here is High Tension. This card shows a bodybuilder with lightning bolts coming out of his neck where his head should be. And you're definitely starting to feel very stressed on this. And I understand that. It's a stressful spot to be in. You're going to have to just keep moving forward. The third card is Tree Spirit Yakshi. This card does have some astrological qualities to it. It shows the sun and the moon, and there's a sense of the seasons with this card. I often recommend my clients read Ecclesiastes 3 when this card comes up, and you might want to meditate on that after the program. And for you, I've gone ahead and pulled a fourth card, and what came up was Pearls Before Swine. This card shows a pig, and he's sitting on a mountain of pearls, and it shows you having given your friendship and attention to those who do not deserve it. And I feel that this in some way is the overarching picture on all of this. You're applying for jobs with people who they don't deserve, someone of your caliber, and you may have a friend or relative in the past who you trusted, and they may have thrown at you to destroy your marriage. So a lot to think about here, and certainly doing a deeper look at the astrology would not be unuseful.
Okay, so what we're seeing, and as I interpret this is that there has been, something did cause this, not just a bad life or things like that. There was something set you in this way, but you haven't been able to get out of it, and that's the problem. So, and looking, when he says look deeper into astrology, he means it, because Deacon Millett is an astrologer. And that was the sense I got of it, too. Let's have Susan do a reading and see what she sees.
Great. It's interesting that, because I got similar cards to the last caller, but the first card I got was the High Priestess, and so you do have psychic ability. I do feel like you are doing work, but somebody is stopping this work. I also got the Magician card, and the card was reversed. So I feel like if you're going to someone, you're not going to the right person. And I usually don't say that because I don't think it's cool to say on a radio show, but I'm just telling you flat out, I would seek help, magical help, somewhere else. I'm getting a Hermit card, which is the last card. So you've been withdrawing, which is understandable, seeing what you've been going through. I went ahead and threw out some other cards just for the heck of it. And I did get the Knight of Pentacles. I got the Three of Swords and the Moon. So there's definitely something has been going on here. It's hurt you inadvertently, and you've been depressed because of it. Now, the other thing that I want to say that came out to me just very clear, and I have heard Candelo Canvisa say this, with a closed mouth, bugs can't get in. And what I would like to go along with that is to say that whoever you're talking to magically or who you're working with, be very, very careful who you're talking to, because they're using your words against you. And I think that you are going to come out of this, because I got the Queen of Rods. I do feel that that is your mother, because it's an ancestral card in this particular spread. And I feel like you are being watched out. So you came to the right place, and you will get out of this. It's just going to take a little bit of work. But you can do it, because you've got the ability. You are a psychic. You're a worker. You're just listening, or you're talking to the wrong people. And I would do what you know, what Deacon Millett just said, and I think that you're on your right path.
Well, I haven't really spoken to anyone. The interesting thing that happened with my marriage is that I was married for 20 years. And then my husband went into, he was a contractor, went into work in this house. And within 3 weeks, my marriage was over. An affair had begun. Things, disturbances started happening in my house. So I don't know if the Magician reversed. The reason I ask is because she has been a very negative, and I've heard that she works in Santeria. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Well, it has everything. We're going to stop. Hold on. Call a halt right now. Santeria is a religion. It is not allowed on this show, and I'm very serious about that, to call a religion something negative. We don't do that. That would be like saying, I've heard she's into Catholicism. And you wouldn't say that. So
I'm just saying so that she may be.
No, we just don't.
Hey. Okay.
I'm going to mute you if you don't hear me. We don't do that on this show. Okay, thank you. All right. Person may be using magic of any kind, but don't use the name of a religion on this show when you mean negative magic. Study up, learn up, don't be racist. Thank you. Okay.
Whew. Okay.
Sorry about that. I just had to do that.
I grew up with Buddha tradition, so I respect the
traditions. That's great, and I'm sure that, okay. Woof. All right, so I'd like to offer you some ideas for root work here. Because, in fact, the words, be careful who you are talking to, just happened. let's give Susan a point on that. There are people who, if you speak that way to them, they're going to trip you too, because religions are not the same as negative magic, and we really do need to understand that sometimes you do wander into a situation and you attribute it to somebody's religion, but it's not the right thing to do. So I do think, and what has come up so far is that both Deacon Millett and Susan saw something of magic here, unlike our first caller, whose financial issues seemed to be much more of a long-standing type and easier to overcome if he just keeps on working. With you, there is something negative going on. We do see that. And I also believe that you should have some astrological work done. Now, I'm going to give you some other advice here. First of all, if you are still under the influence of this the ex, and I hear in your voice that there still is some problems, you know, emotionally with that. And Susan got the moon.
Yeah, we have children.
Ah, well, that would explain it too. The moon card that Susan pulled is a card of mental stress, and so what I'm seeing here is that you probably need some help, first of all, to take away that negativity. And I know you said you've done novenas and such like, but you probably will need to have the guidance of somebody. She mentioned the High Priestess card. Have you ever considered working with a female root worker coach or someone of that type?
I have pursued it, but it's something that I'm very interested in.
Yeah, I kind of am looking at that as something for you here, because I do have a strong feeling that some sort of a guide will be of good help to you. I don't know who it would be. I'm not trying to recommend anyone here or anyone I know, but I do have that feeling that that would be good. The Magician reversed almost says something like negative magic. All right, so that was used on you. Okay, so let's talk about what you can do. The first thing I would like you to do, and you may have already done it, I don't know, this has been a while since 2014, have you done any kind of a black walnut or cut and clear or lemon spell to cut all spiritual ties to your ex?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'm going to recommend that. I'm going to recommend that for starters. So it depends on what trajectory you're on with respect to hoodoo or with respect to spiritual work generally. Black walnuts work very well. Just get some 9 black walnuts, boil them up, pour the water over yourself, and pray to have it all taken away from you. Black walnuts will kill any connections that you have to someone. It can cause you to fall out of love. It can cause you to assume a totally neutral stance to that person from then on. If you are Mediterranean in background, some people will use a lemon for something very similar, and this would be a lemon bath. And sometimes lemon and salt. But I prefer the black walnuts. I have found them to be more effective in my life. They just come out of Native American tradition, and I'm sure also European tradition as well. Any place where walnuts grow, they will kill all other plants that grow beneath them, so the idea is that the walnuts will kill your feelings. A cut and clear spell is a kind of a self-help spell. You don't hire someone to do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. And you can read about it online at my web page, luckymojo.com/cutandclear.html. And that spell has been used by many people, myself included. I was taught it by a Puerto Rican guy way back in the 1970s in New York City. But there are many ways to do it. You can use cut and clear spiritual supplies. You can just use a lemon. But you're basically going to make a list of all the good qualities and all the bad qualities of the person who hurt you. And you're going to cut that list apart, and ultimately, after going through a bunch of changes with it, you're going to burn the bad list and you're going to keep the good list. Because part of you is still trapped in the cycle of events that started back then. The fact that you begin your description of what happened to you shows that you have accurately pinpointed something flipped for you then, and you need to undo that. So I would recommend working with a root work coach. I could recommend one person who probably Susan and Deacon Millett would agree with me is a very good worker for this type of material is Miss Aida.
Yes.
And
I've seen her on the forum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Miss Aida is she's a hot tamale, and she will not let anyone fall by the wayside. We call her the Schutzhund of Hoodoo. She does train actual. She actually trains German Shepherd dogs, Schutzhund dogs, and that means a protector dog. And Miss Saida will get you where you need to go. And she is one for cutting away the past. She's very good about it, and she is a helper. So if you need to have a helper to hire her as a magical coach, or possibly Susan would also be interested in it. I would also recommend, though, that you do get some astrological work looked at too. How long is this cycle going to last? Because it seems like a cycle like this should not last forever. And if you have been thrown for, tripped up, and made spiritually damaged, you need to get all of that off of you before you can effectively move on. And I think that's where we need to start. And I would, like I said, start with cut and clear, start with black walnuts, start with something that's going to get you, now, you do have children, and you can't get, you know, you don't want to destroy all of that kind of stuff.
I have a honey jar going on him so that he continues to pay child support, because I struggle with that. We had a company together that I also lost at that point.
I'm going to recommend that a honey jar may not be the right thing for child support. It can work, but I would do a much more specific money spell. I would get his picture, and I would get the picture of the children, and I would get a picture that has him and the children on it. I would get pinking shears, the kind that cut zigzag little marks, and I would just cut him away, and I would get a dollar bill or a $20 bill, and I'd glue him back together, mend that picture with the money, but a little space, and say, you may not come unto the children except through money, right? And then put them back together. And I would do that rather than, you could put a little sugar in with it, but I wouldn't be doing a honey, because honey doesn't equal money necessarily. Money equals money. Anybody else have any ideas for what she could do?
Okay.
Yeah, I totally agree about the honey jar. I would just get rid of the honey jar, and I would do what Catherine said, but I would also consider a pay me spell, which is very good at getting back child support. I've had excellent work with that. And I would also go work with a female, and I think Miss Aida is excellent for this type of situation. I totally agree with that. I'd also think about doing some bathing to bathe this stuff off of you, to wash it off of you. And you already know that, because I get the feeling you know all this stuff. I don't know why. But
I've done some Tisset baths. I've done cleansing baths. I've done them for 5 days.
That's not long enough.
Again, you're attacking it in an odd way. Why would you use a hyssop bath if you have not committed a sin?
Right.
See,
yeah.
A hyssop bath is to take off your
own
sin.
I'm calling because I'm not informed. I'm just pulling what I know and what I've heard.
Right. See, so you need an instructor. You need a coach.
Yeah.
You're kind of doing things and going, that's not working. Hyssop is used to take off your own sin. If you, like, curse somebody, you bathe with hyssop. What you may need is something very different. And like I said, I recommend a black walnut. But that's just me.
Black walnut, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but we are here to help. I mean, there are people here who can help. Deacon Millett, do you have anything to add to this?
No, I think that all the bases have really been covered. I'd be doing uncrossing baths regularly under this situation.
Yeah.
I do get the feeling you're being thrown at, so just protect yourself.
Yeah,
and strange things. They send strange things to my house with my daughter. And when my younger one comes home, I unpack her bag, and there's like strange things. They send, this woman hates me, and she sends food to my house that I throw away.
Right.
It's very
strange.
Well,
that's the thing. You need to learn how to put protection things on your children when they go to see her. This is why you need to talk about these things with a coach, because there's much going on here, and I hope you get the help you need. But definitely protection work on the children when they go. All right, we're going to go to our announcement, and we're going to come back with a free spell.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Kajaman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kyra Mond, Wednesdays 5 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell with Susan Barnes of SusanBarnesAuthor.com in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Take it away, Susan.
Thank you, Papa Newt. This spell is going to be freezing out a love rival, and you're going to need a freezer jar, a clear one. You're going to need vinegar, some alum, black mustard seeds, vandal root, bath salts mixed up with water, such as Banishing Crossing or Jinx is good. Take a piece of paper, write your petition, like Miss Joan Doe, and say something mean, like, you know, you whore, get out, leave, stink like a pig, swell up like a toad, go away, you filthy hussy, get away now. Get a picture of her, write her name 9 times across her picture, then write go away over her pic. Put alum on her picture, that'll shut her mouth up, along with separation sachet. Put dirt from her yard in the picture. Put dirt in the petition paper. Fold it away from you 4 times. Put pins in the paper in the shape of an X, and I want at least 9 pins. Put this in the jar. Fill it with vinegar, other stuff, and some water. You don't want it all vinegar. It'll pop off. Close the jar and tell her bye-bye. You can be playing the song "You're as Cold as Ice" by Foreigner while you're doing the spell. Get a black candle. Write her name on that candle and write all kinds of bad stuff about her. Say get out. Put banishing oil on the candle and banishing sachet. Let this candle burn the wax on the jar. When it's done, you stick that thing in the freezer. And there you go.
Wow. Wow. I don't want to ever get on your bad side.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. You know, we always think of, we were just mentioning Miss Aida, we always think of Miss Aida as the cursing queen, but I think you just got in her league there.
It's always the quiet ones you got to watch out for.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Now, I loved that petition you gave. That was really good because, you know, you don't want to put his name in, as we just said earlier in the show, and not everybody listening to the show now as was in the show when we started. Do not put the one you want in the freezer, just the one you want to have go away. Mm-hmm. Wow. And Papa Newt is putting in a list of all of these ingredients. We have web pages where you can read more about these ingredients, such as separation powder, banishing powder, vandal root, red pepper flakes. Vandal root's an interesting one because I got a little bit of comment about that. Vandal root stinks. I mean, it just smells terrible. But everybody knows that medically it's a soporific. It will cause people to go to sleep. It's not like a sleeping pill, but it is a component in almost every form of herbal sleeping medicine has vandal root, but it smells terrible. It makes it a very, very valuable plant for use in freezer spells. Because a freezer spell also slows and stops them down, like putting them to sleep. So vandal root, stinky as all get out, and yet it does very well in a freezer spell. Again, I have a tendency to boil these a little too, heat them up, freeze them. That's just me. You know, first the fire, then the ice. But that's just me. And you can do them any way you want to. This is a great spell. Deacon Millett, do you have anything to add to this?
No, I just, I'm one of those people that's had such good experiences with valerian that it's hard for me to think of it as smelling bad. I associate it with such gentleness in personal use. But I love using it in spell work. Poppy seeds are another thing that I really like to use as a soporific. When I use figural candles to represent someone, I like to put poppy seeds on the eyeballs to just cloud their vision. That's another fun one to use.
Wow.
Brilliant.
Now, so this is a spell that can be used to put someone on ice who is approaching a person that you love. Now, I was going to add something to this, too, because the problem always is this, well, what do I do about him? And I mentioned at the beginning, cut his name apart away from her name and then do this freezer spell on her and her alone. Or don't even put him in the spell and cut him away. Just start with her. Her sex life gets frozen up. Think about her and what you want it to be, that she would have some sort of an inflammation. You know, that red pepper kind of leads you to think of urinary tract infections, things like that. Focus on her. Then you have to do another spell for his faithfulness. You cannot do them both at once if it's a freezer spell. His faithfulness is going to be a spell that's going to involve love. And so you have to work those two things separately. Don't work them both at once. You could do them on the same day, but don't work them out of the same mindset. And I've mentioned this before many times. I work from clean to dirty. I do not work from dirty to clean if I'm working on one day. So I would not start with the freezer spell and then do the love spell for him, unless I took a shower in between, bathed myself with hyssop, that bath that woman thought was possibly to take off a curse. That's where you want the hyssop. You just did this nasty on this lady. Bathe with hyssop, or at least wash your hands with hyssop, and then work clean starting over again. And don't be afraid to even let a day go between the two spells. If you work yourself up into a fury of revenge and anger and hatred against somebody, in order to work that freezer spell and then put them down as cold as ice, and you got to get that white hot heat, and then you got to freeze it. That's why I like to boil them first, then freeze them. But once you've done that, you got to just take a moment, ask God's forgiveness in case you've done the wrong person. Maybe it was somebody else. It wasn't that lady. Or maybe it was somebody who didn't really deserve it. And, you know, so you just say, Lord, if I've erred, please teach me the errors of my way and that I may serve you better in the future. And go to bed and sleep on it, take a shower, and then start the love work for the man who was wandering around. Okay?
I think it's good, too, to constantly – I'm constantly cleaning because of all the freezers I do. So I use Tibetan ghost incense and some hardcore stuff to clean out my area that I'm working in.
That is she just mentioned something. And again, I don't know that everybody in the chat room or anyone hearing this show will know what she's talking about. Tibetan ghost purging incense. This is an incense that is made for this purpose and this purpose only, namely to get rid of evil spirits who you may have called up in the course of doing negative work, or that you may have wandered into for some other reason. It's very good stuff, to get Tibetan ghost purging incense. And another one that I like to use is a little bit of peace water sprayed around the place. All right. Well, I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt. We certainly had a long list of great ingredients, and we had some good spells. And let's let Papa Newt wrap this up, and then we'll come back and say goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Deacon Millett. And thank you, Susan Barnes of Susan Barnes Author in Tulsa, Oklahoma, for being our guest this week. We do invite you to join us next week as I, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska, will be stepping out of the announcer's booth to be a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, as we will be discussing working with St. Expedite. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum@luckymojo.com and Deacon Millett at fouralters.org in Joshua Tree, California. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye, and goodbye. Thank you, Papa Newt. That was so cleverly done, and I just have to say, of course, now everybody's going to say, so who's going to be the announcer? Well, our announcer next week will be Miss Loretta of the First and Second Baptist Church of Quigley, Texas.
Oh, wow.
Loretta.
Yes, Miss Loretta. Her first time as an announcer. All right, folks. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
All right. Now, you still have time. Go out and buy your tickets to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. I really want y'all to come on out, support us, learn from us, have fun with us. You know it's going to be a wonderful time. Deacon Millett, thank you so much for taking over the spot that Conjurman Ali usually holds down.
Always a pleasure.
It's always lovely to have you here. Let's say a quick prayer for Conjurman Ali's relative in the hospital. And Susan Barnes, we'll have you on again real soon.
Thank you. I had a great time. Thank you, Miss Kat, Deacon Millett, and
all
Papa
right.
Newt. Thank you.
Okay. Good night, all.
Good night.
Good
bye-bye.
Night.
Bye.